Hey, I just wanted to give you an update. I heard you talking about the mill.
Yeah.
It's the north wall, the entrance wall where you go into the mill, and it's been repaired several times over the years. But it's got an underground water spring on that north side, and it keeps washing everything out.
Oh.
And that wall is a poured concrete wall, probably 3 foot thick, like 30 foot long, probably 10 foot tall. And so it gave way, and all the soil's coming through the wall now. And then the wall above it, the framing, the 2x8 wall, has moved out about 7 inches, and it's just getting ready, the whole thing's getting ready to collapse.
Mm. Is this John?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was. We had like a weird connection or something. Well,
oh, yeah, what's pouring out here? I'm out here on 421. It's really raining hard.
Okay. Well, thank you for the phone call. So is it? Did I understand Russ correctly yesterday that we're talking just a couple weeks, not months, right?
Oh, it could go today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's really, really bad structural-wise. And what? It's going to be really costly. I mean, I'm doing an investigation to bring in a concrete company that actually, you know, has the forms to pour the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would have to be done first, and everything would have to be jacked up to remove that wall. So, I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've seen some of the work that your business has done before, John, and I'm sure this is a project you could certainly handle with your crew, but is this something you're going to take on, or are we going to try to find someone else who can do it, or is there the money available to pay you? Because I know you can't work for free. I mean, I know you contribute a lot of things to the community, and you've certainly volunteered your services and equipment before for no charge for certain things throughout the city, being a community guy. But is this something that can realistically, can we raise enough money to fix the thing?
Well, my first thing I told Bill was that they really not need to find somebody to write grants. And I know you guys have had the Historical Society from up there at Delphi on the radio before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've questioned the man that you talked to up there. And at one time, the county just never really put any money out to that ever.
Right.
You know, they worked on revitalizing the canal downtown Delphi, and, you know, spent millions of dollars downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing's really ever been spent on the mill. Now that Bill's come along, he's a caretaker of it, and he has functions out there, and they're trying to get some money. But we're talking, I mean, you could easily throw $30,000 into this one drop of a hat.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but they really need to get somebody to write a grant, get it out, and start getting some money brought in to fix this thing. I mean, that's a lot of history there.
Absolutely. Well, if you know, yeah, a grant would be nice, but that takes time. What would be nicer is someone with a little money who would like to preserve something and maybe put their name up on a plaque out there or something. You know, it'd be nice to have someone who could throw some money at it to at least secure the thing, so it's not going to fall down on us. You know, that would be terrible. That would be terrible if it actually did collapse.
Yeah, well, it's like I said, it's on its way. Mm. So I don't, you know, and it's such a tall structure that
it is tall. You're right. It is tall, man.
Hey, yeah, John. I know that you have worked with a lot of historical buildings and everything. Is there a lot that you have to go through to do that as far as state regulated or federal regulated?
Yeah, there's the Historic Landmarks Foundation. The Historic Landmarks Foundation tie you up.
Tommy Kletner out of Terre Haute, he's like the administrator of Indiana for landmark development, and he would be one I would contact. But I just, that's like you said before, it doesn't happen overnight.
Mm.
You know, and I don't know if he's contacted Tommy yet, because I've worked with Tommy on a lot of, you know, super old buildings that were, you know, marked as designated, you know, they're safe historically.
Right.
And now, this one definitely qualifies for it.
Right.
And Bill's, you know, trying to do anything he can. I just went up there Friday. So, I mean,
right,
this is just starting to open up what we're going to do about it. And, mm-hmm, you know, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to get some money.
Yeah.
Well, and all this rain's not going to help.
Oh, no. And like I said, that's the other thing. When you pour that new wall, they need to put tile in there and get that spring away from the walls. Cause that's what's taking it out for 100 years. People gone in there and fixed it and fixed it and fixed it, but they never put a tile in to get reroute that water.
Right. It's kind of ironic that the one thing, which is the spring, which was the reason that it was probably chosen for the location, could be the downfall.
Right. Oh, yeah, because, you know, it was built right there by the river, and they brought that river in there to run the mill.
Right.
And, you know, and it's quite ironic. Right next, you know, 15 feet over from that wall is where they had the river come through the building.
Right.
So, you know, it's a really high-stake area for moisture in there.
Wow. Well, thank you, John, for the phone call this morning. I feel a little more educated now.
Yeah. Hey, well, thank you. I just, you know, I heard you talking. I thought, well, I'll just give you an update.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
Y'all have a great day.
You too. Appreciate that. John Reed with Pioneer Restoration in Frankfort. Well, there you have it, Melissa, straight from John.
Well, and that's what I wondered, because I knew the spring goes right underneath there.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen before in other areas where the water has just basically washed the ground away from the foundation, and then there's nothing there to hold it.
Like John said, in 1845, Adams Mill produced assorted grades of flour. It is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It is also a museum of early rural America open to the public. The grist mill itself, built in 1845 by John Adams, who walked along the Wildcat Creek from Lafayette toward what would become the site of Kokomo, to find a suitable site for his mill. He chose this location because of the Oxbow Bend at this point in the creek. The dam was built upstream on the Wildcat. The dam causes water to pool and feeds a mill race to the creek as the Oxbow bends back to the west. The point of reentry is almost a mile downstream by creek, but only 200 yards from the dam site by the mill race.